Hello, hello, hello. Happy Q Day, everyone. So happy to be here, Zosha.
Hi,
sister.
Beautiful Lauren. Happy to be here too.
Yes, yes. And we
welcome everyone. Sorry,
welcome
go.
Welcome everyone. And oh my gosh, let's get it going. Let's invite our guest.
Hi, Q.
Hi, Q.
Hi.
We love you're here. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much
for being here. Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
we'll play coy for a while until you guys get me warmed up.
Go ahead, Lauren. It's your specialty.
Okay. All right. Well, so Q, the way we wanted to play today, on the last call, you had mentioned, you know, wanting to ask us some questions. And so Zosha and I are just so excited to, you know, I mean, didn't you say, you know, this is your harem. So we'd like for you to take the lead and ask us some questions. And of course, we'd love for Mermaid to join if she's inspired. So yeah, how do you feel about that?
Let's go. I'm happy to do so. Thanks for inviting me and in your time and your space. And I'm present with you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's a continuous thirst to learn from you. It never ends. What you've experienced here, what you've experienced in the past, and what you'll experience in the future. It's a very, very unique place for us. It's very, we're not here as much as you. We haven't done this as much as you, although you may see us as able to go to many universes and many planets. It's not as, we wouldn't consider it as unique to what you've dedicated yourself doing here. And so we're always curious how you're perceiving as you go through the, what you're calling the enlightening or awakening process. How are you perceiving in a case-by-case basis, how are you perceiving the changes you're going through and what you're starting to notice? So what is like completely new to you that you assumed was generic? And in I'll give you one example here. What's it like for you? Now, this is something we take for granted. What's it like for you to talk to a tree now or in the past or as a child where we took for granted that everyone was talking to a tree? Could you teach us what's it like to talk to fauna or something that's, you know, what a lot of the society population thinks is innate, which is our best friends to us? Could you tell me what it's like to communicate with nature, whether it's fauna or an animal?
Zosha, do you want to go first?
I don't mind. Do you want to go? Go, Lauren.
Oh, well, Q, that's a beautiful question. For me, I've always been very connected to the animals. I remember when I was a while ago, I dated a guy and he always called me Snow White because the animals would always come to me. And I just was always so connected. But now, and I didn't know why, but now we expand upon that. And just walking in nature and talking with the trees and I didn't get it, so to speak, until, past couple years. And when I do it, there's just this incredible peace. And, I, even now, like when I sit in the morning and look at the birds and having some coffee, the squirrels, the birds come up and I talk to them and, they look at, there's a connection for sure. And, even with the trees, I'm still working on that one because I don't hear them or so to speak, but I feel their beauty and their majesty and just hugging them and touching them and just brings me incredible peace. Whereas before I just observe, oh, it's a tree. So I hope that helps. Zosha, is anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'd say as a child, I spent really, well, most of my memorable moments were in the ocean. And I had a deep connection with the ocean, and that's no surprise. And being in nature and playing outside with friends and digging in the dirt and just having what I considered a typical childhood. There was really not much tech. But I didn't realize until really meeting you and Mermaid of my deep connection that they are my friends. In fact, they're almost my only friends left, only that my heart-centered connection with my children and friends that I'm meeting here and Lauren and you and Mermaid and the team. But I speak with the birds. I see them. They communicate with them. I've had amazing experiences that they're interacting with me. So it's really built my confidence of knowing, wow, they're actually communicating with me. I'm communicating with them. I befriended a tree on this walk that I take, and I hug it every time I walk by. It's a massive plane tree, and I feel its powerful energy come through. Today I saw a seal. There's a blue heron that flirts with me. An eagle flew over my head today. I mean, it's simply amazing that it moves me to tears. So it's just this awakening that, wow, the family's coming back. So I really could never thank you both enough for articulating all that you have shared and reminding us this, that they're our friends, they're our family. So I hope that answers the question.
Thank you very much. BBS, a little scratchy on my end from the girls, FYI. Okay, so it's fair to say that when you were a young child, both of you had some frequency, some resonance identifier of nature. And at some point, this is an assumption, don't want to put words in your mouth, that you knew you had a relationship with nature, and then maybe you got distracted with professional or personal life, and now you're starting to find it again. Is that fair?
It is for me.
Yes.
Okay. Now, a blue heron tells us exactly where you're at. Do you want to say hello, by the way? No? Okay. You do?
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Mermaid. Hi. Oh, it's so great to hear you, Mermaid.
You too.
They knew you were going to show up. They like could feel when you come flying into the room. She floats. I've never seen her walk, actually. The more people, they just kind of float or swim, one of the two.
Float.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. What's fun about that?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, what's fun for us is we've never lost or misunderstood that, and so we need your help to teach us where does it go. As an example, the topic. Sorry, before you got in here, when did you regain your relationship with nature? What was it like when you were a child? I'm asking them questions today. Mm-hmm. And so they're teaching us and coaching us on where maybe the continuity is lost as we go through the awakening process.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's my question. And I've started on nature because that would be more normal for us to be one with our planet and nature. So where could we standardize on where we're losing our relationship and arguably our responsibilities with, you mentioned animals, trees, fauna, what have you. Where are we losing that generation after generation? Could you assume or position us? Thank you.
Zosha, did you want to take this one first or me or?
Yeah. Okay. I'll go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
It came back to me at 13. I begged for a cat. And so having this beautiful cat come into my life and cared for it and he cared for me was a step that brought a relationship back into my life. And if I didn't have that cat, I just would have been consumed with school and sports and things like that. And I observed that with my children's life as well. They pleaded for a dog and I saw how it changed their, how they grew by having a relationship with our dog. To answer your question, if those animals weren't there, it's the busyness, it's the transition. I can see through my kids, you know, in school, it just got busier. Their life was way busier than mine was as a kid. And the demands of life. And it's everything you talked about, schooling and programming and all of that. And even recess time was less, art time was less, all of that creative stuff became less in their life compared to my childhood, except for where I augmented it and brought them into nature on my own in the ocean and whatnot. So I feel like it's everything you speak about, Q. And Mermaid, it's the tech, it's the busyness of life. It just creates a disconnect. You're just too busy to even ponder that there's animals and things. So does that lean into what you're asking?
I agree. When I was a child, I feel like it was quite slow. Like I went to school and everything, like most children did. Homeschooling wasn't as prevalent then, but I grew up in a beautiful home in nature. I was very lucky, on the water in a beautiful bay. And I was so in touch with nature and animals, and also had a beautiful cat that I adored, a Burmese cat that lived till she was 20, and guinea pigs, and would always beg for other pets. I'm just telling.
So sweet.
And then the same for my children, but I just like, I've noticed with their peers, everybody does have such busy lives. I really try to keep ours as slow as possible. And I think people think it's worse, that it's not good to keep them busy, that they should be in like every sport and every activity. And I've noticed in America, especially, you guys are real go-getters, which is great. But I think it's just really busy. So it makes you disconnected with just knowing how to just be still and sit outside by the pond and play and things like that, because they're just completely stimulated and busy 24/7 to get them ready for adulthood with the same model. So sometimes I feel guilty that I haven't put them in enough activities and enough things, but I'm like, no, I think the best lesson is a little bit of stillness as well. We don't have to be stimulated all the time. So it's a balance, definitely. But I think life has got busier and busier, like you say, so that we have that disconnect with nature and slowness.
Okay, so the cat's piano lessons we're going to pull because it's just too much. It's too busy. Or the kitty volleyball team is too much.
We have too many kittens right now if anybody wants to play.
There's nothing better than watching cats volleyball. It's the greatest.
That is so funny. Mermaid, can I just piggyback onto that? I noticed that here in the States, everybody, and I love the sports, don't get me wrong about the sports, but it's sitting at the softball field all weekend, all day long at the ball field doing competitions and tournaments. And like, there's no time for family time because it's like everything is so consuming, right? And then, you see the kids now, even my niece, it's on the tech. And they're not taught presence. First, they're not taught presence with themselves. And the more, you know, the tech is, you know, they have the tech in schools. They don't even carry books anymore. It's all on these, you know, these laptops. And so everything is just the tech. And, you know, they're not encouraged to go outside and play. I mean, when I was little, it was, you know, building forts and playing, you know, tag and getting muddy and croquet and basketball and soccer. So it was so much. Yeah. Right. It was so much fun. But now it's get them inside in front of a computer all the time. And then, you know, I know that there's parents that are struggling with this and they're like, well, what do you do? How do you balance that? Right.
Yeah. And we have this like, how do you say it? Like it's just overly protective parenting now. It's strange. Like we all do it, but back in the day, weren't kids just going out and playing, making their own arrangements, like with their friends in their street, like meet at the baseball field, and they would all just play. It wasn't necessarily lessons with parents involved. It was like, you know, they'd organize it themselves. Okay, tomorrow, Saturday, meet you guys at the field or meet you down at the creeks for a swim or whatever, who knows. But it seems like kids, and I'm guilty of it too, but they don't do that as much now. Everything's so overly protected by parents, and it's a strange time. I don't know what changed because the world was just as dangerous then.
I tell you what,
there were just as many weirdos around back then as now. So I
Exactly.
I don't know, but we're all.
You mean like the CIA? Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you what, I think it's that phone. It's that phone that, oh, I can text you. I always have to have, like, I got to be able to get in touch with you. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that just came to me. It's the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. Yeah.
All right. Unless you want to keep going, I have other questions for you.
We're ready.
All right. So when, thank you so much, ladies. All right. So where does separation evolve for you two? That's super kitty. Okay. Where does separation start taking place for you? Not necessarily age and timing, but when can you describe where you realized that thought was after your real knowledge, and or how did you find separation, whether it's meditation? What was the true aha moment that said, I'm observing thought, I'm not what I'm thinking? Is there a definition or something you could standardize on that would help others in what you experienced? Thank you.
I would say as a kid, Lauren?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay. As a kid, so just to describe my nature as a kid, I was a kid who 50%, I'll just make up the number, loved being by myself. I knew how to entertain myself. I knew how to play in my room. I knew how to go outside. Yet I also love my friends and whatnot. So I was 50-50. So just keeping that in feeling through this is going through, I'd say as an adult when I really, I just observed that it was different. I hope this answers the question. I observed when I was with friends, I was always the one who'd sit on the bench and talk forever. And it was always a surprise when someone would leave, they had to go somewhere. So it was this accumulation of observations over time. But when I was an adult and went into meditation in my it was after I had my children, really followed a path because I was just asking the bigger questions I shared with you once, like, who am I? Just knew there was something more. And it is that path that I went into deep silence to go within to my heart. And it was a meditation that did help me. But yes, to the other caller, thank you for calling in. I was slammed at that time in my life. So it's interesting that that call came in today. But nonetheless, I went within and started to recognize the difference. You could feel maybe the word delta that you said. I'd come back, I'd be in deep peace for a weekend or a week. Really devoted to reading your words, both of your words and other beings, really devoted that, really processing it through me. So in short, that silence allowed a place to acclimate and then recognize the thoughts are different. That's not me. Just to recognize the difference, I had to have a break. It was just taking a break, getting quiet and recognizing the noise all around me. And then I watched, I just was no longer interested in going out with the girls, or was no longer interested in talking with this person or that person. I didn't really know why, but I just couldn't do it anymore. So I hope that answers too. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you. Follow up on that. Okay, so did it just feel uncomfortable to react instead of be proactive in your self-awareness, peacefulness?
Yes, I just couldn't participate. It was interesting when I found you, Q, and you were speaking. I was like, oh my gosh, I have been doing this 2 degrees in my life already. Not on the scale that I had to move up to, but yes, it became uncomfortable. I just didn't have anything in common anymore. It was too superficial, so to say. They were beautiful people, but I don't even know now if they were people.
Yeah.
Yeah, real good. So you just described being present with yourself is how I understand. And you never really lost it. You just went back and forth and appreciated it more and more. And now are favoring that is what I understood. Is that fair?
Yes, totally fair.
Okay, cool. Next participant on Spirit's Right.
I would say for me, I had to get to a pain point. So, and you even said this version of human, they have to reach that pain point. So, like it was like what Zosia said, it was really easy when I was a child. But then when you get into all the, you know, the heavy academics and, this, you know, getting on the track for college and what are you going to do with your life? And you got to figure it out by the time you're 18. And you know, I became a nurse and I took care of patients to the point where I wasn't even taking care of myself because, you know, I just wanted to take care of others to the best of my ability. So I got to the point in probably my late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, where I started questioning things and, you know, like, what's the point of all this? There has to be more to life. And then in 2013, 2014, I started doing these deep dives, and that's when it all started for me. I had to get, so to answer the question, I had to come to a place of just, there's got to be more, like a pain point. And that's what catapulted me into wanting to rediscover who I really am. So I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, that's great. That's probably the most common salutation we hear. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's similar to me, I'd say. Very similar to my story, even the timing.
So once we give ourselves a chance, then we're really just noticing ourselves. It's pretty...
Yeah, I think from what I've noticed, and I think most of us can relate, I think in our late teens, like 18 onwards, as you say, well, and during your teen years, but and then in your 20s, it's a shame, but we get, and it's designed that way, completely designed that way, but we get completely off track and we do lose ourselves. But I mean, they can't stop it forever. It seems like we all end up, then we come back to ourselves again at whatever age, be it late 20s, 30s, who knows, but hang on, there's got to be more to life than this. But you do get, I think once you finish high school and whatnot, you get all wrapped up in what you're supposed to do, and whether it's college or my career or earning lots of money and I want a big house or I've got to start a family, I've got to get married, all these things that we think we're supposed to do, you completely lose, many of us completely lose our spiritual side, I think. But then you go, hopefully, and go and explore it again. But then that's once you've made all these decisions and probably married, had kids and maybe chose the wrong partner and it's a lot more complicated. But that seems to be the really common story, don't you think, with most people we talk with?
In modern society, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If only we explored ourselves at a younger age and found out who we truly are, then we'd probably find our mate better, and then the whole rest of our path
so,
would be.
letting my parents pick my wife without meeting her first was not a good idea.
Sorry.
I feel sorry for her too. Really sorry for her.
Yeah, many cultures have it harder than us, for sure. But we're still doing that on some level. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, thank you, ladies. So, when you look at outside interference from your day in and day out desires and inspiration, What is a way that you get back to, let's say, normalcy? So let's say you're renting a house, can't make payments today, but, you know, you might have to have a conversation with your landlord and say, hey, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make, I'm a little short this month. Can you give me a couple of days? How do you stay peaceful knowing that this activity is very odd to have to pay rent on a planet you're born on, but the landlord doesn't understand a word you're saying. They want their money. How do you all stay in peace? Use that opportunity there, or another example. How do you stay in peace while you're going through something like that? Or your true self, I should say.
Go, Lauren.
Oh, for me. Okay. So, Q, that's interesting because, you know, I cold turkey quit my job. I just quit. And I won't go into how I am sustaining my everything right now, but it's something that pops up for me a lot. And it causes me, and I know that this is not me, but this is just me observing an emotion. It can cause anxiety for me. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And takes me down a timeline, and it ends up that I can't think about it anymore. I go out in nature, and it's Zosia gave a great example. It's like a child with a crayon scribbling on a piece of paper, and it's just all this head, mind, energy. And I literally can't think about it anymore. I have to just go into peace. So that's not a great example, but that's what I do. I'm still figuring it out, so to speak. So that's where I'm at currently, just dropping the paper and the crayon and just moving into my heart. Because, you know, I remember talking to Lucia when I was working with her, and I said, the only place that I know to go that's safe is my heart. That's the only place I know to go, because everything out there, it's just, you know, it can be a little scary for me, you know, it's just me. So I hope that answers the question. Zosia, anything to add to that, or Q?
Please keep going, you two.
I feel your advice to not participate. I really took that to heart, because I'd say before you, I feel there's a saying like this with Jesus, that you came to break up husband from wife, daughter from mother, and the type of thing. And prior to that, I get that. But now with following you and not participating and really recognizing who's your friend and who's not your friend, just really being brutally honest with the relationships left in my life. And it honestly just got to a point where, you have shared this too, I was just so sick. I couldn't, the choice was almost made. I didn't almost have to make it. I did. It was brutal in observing it. But once I finally made it and ended a relationship, there's three separate times I've done it, extricating what isn't heart-centered for me, just because I can't participate. And I had to let go of all of the labels and really just identify with my spirit. Just, I just don't feel good here in this situation. And I just had to leave all the rest, all the details out of it. And I just stopped participating, and literally stopped participating.
But why do they take all our cool shit with them?
I know. Exactly.
My favorite shirts and everything.
It makes your life clean. It really makes your life clean in all ways.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, nostalgia and being possessive of things really, really tricks you a lot. And yeah, breakups are healthy. When I was doing the one-on-one work, I guess I still am and love it. Is
thank you.
You don't need a big. You're welcome. You don't need a big drawn out event, do you? You go goodbye.
Yeah,
that's all you have to do is go goodbye. Now that doesn't go over too well in this type of human, is what I found. Is, hi, I'm tired of this, and goodbye. There has to be a discussion, let's say a roommate meeting, keys. Let's see, what is, you owe me that and you owe me this. And by the way, you're late, or goodbye. Can I just say goodbye?
That's the thing that's, yes, exactly. That is one of the.
No, I really meant it when I said goodbye.
Curses and. Earth, human experience.
No, it really is goodbye. It just, I only have to do it once. Goodbye.
We are so emotional. Like, so in a higher dimensional reality, everyone just loves and respects each other and their decisions, and don't get offended by others' decisions. And so that would be more normal for us to say, You know, maybe we're not flowing that great, and I think I'm going to go and explore this way. Like, I love you and wish you well, but I'm going to need to go in this direction now. And it's, you know, it's going to be for the best of both of you. Because if one person's not happy or not fulfilled, how will it ever be a successful, fulfilling match for both? You know, it just, that makes sense logically.
And I'll text you tomorrow.
It just makes sense.
Text me when you get there.
Yeah, that would just make sense for us with, you know, that live more through our heart center, because that's how we've always, that's how we would live. It's just a loving, unconditional love for all. And and there's no, you can't get angry at someone for choosing their own life, for choosing what they want to do. It's not in any, it's not to offend you or to upset you. And that's the bizarre thing about this place, is everyone is so emotional and so it's strange, like as you say, in the case of a breakup with a friend or a partner or leaving a job, whatever it might be, just going a different direction, everyone has to go psycho and like literally go psycho and ruin your life. I'm going to go psychotic about it now, and we're going to and then we have to talk about all the possessions and all these things as well. And
what was the saying? Yeah, I heard a place. I heard a saying, you know who your wife is when you leave her. You know, they definitely know. You definitely know how she feels about you. Absolutely, no doubt about. And we can play both those sexes here, but you just definitely know everyone's real colors when you want to do something you want to do.
Maybe I help myself it's out a little bit by not getting married. But sorry, Q.
Yeah, the contractual relationship system here is quite well annealed to entitlements, titles, identity, and of course monetary. So it's very clever to have a contract with somebody. I think Lucia probably explains it the best I've ever heard. Is wherever my attention resides is all the commitment I need, because it's what I want to do right now. Great answers, you two. So based on our first round of questions here, how would we explain this to children? So we've got a nice body of material now. We've talked about nature, relationship with ourselves, relationships with others. Moving forward with our children, so let's assume the little guys, you five, where do we're assuming we're great parents and we love them, but we really, really have an opportunity to explain what's coming ahead of them, because they're going to interact with other people's kids that aren't like us, per se. So how are we going to teach the little guys moving forward, and when do we start getting, you know, obvious examples for them to learn from?
I love that question. Go ahead, Marmee.
No, all three things. So we started with when we lose our relationship with nature.
Okay.
Second was when did we find ourselves? That's what the ladies have helped us with. Mm-hmm. And three, what is it about our relationships that we're learning about the whole process and switching gears? How are we picking our friends as an example, or why do we assume we have to keep up with Auntie Barbara when it's just a requirement for Mother's Day that she's there? Mm-hmm. All those kind of things we could gear our we could really start talking to children earlier, is my opinion, but I'll ask the girls.
Yeah.
Okay. Zosha, go ahead.
I love this question, because I really did do my children. They're in their 20s. So I had them pre-phones. They had a life without a phone. So they got to experience that, and then life with a phone. So I was really tried my best to be building them to really live in their heart and know their spirits. Now,
you had your kids in 1971 or?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, I didn't think so.
Did I do the math? Did I do the math wrong?
Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry to take over your show. I have to get some comedy in.
Oh, we love it when you do. We love it when you do. So I've had this question running throughout my life as well. I'll just say it this way. I had one foot outside of here and one foot inside of here. So I didn't really know that I knew the matrix, but I did. I recognized there was a system, and I recognized the nurturing aspect of filling your spirit. So I used to have them read your words from both of you when they were young. So they had that wisdom. So my perspective as a parent was to keep pointing them there, keep pointing them here. So, but the competition was pre-phones. It was the social obligations. Okay, Aunt so-and-so is coming over and wants to give you a hug. I don't want to hug Aunt so-and-so. I don't have to. So I sort of almost gave them strength by them articulating it, by them talking to me and sharing what they felt. I said, don't go hug Aunt Kathy, whatever the name is. So you see what I'm saying? So I felt like I was their advocate and just had to strengthen them at those times of making decisions like in school. Well, he's so nice. I'm just going to hang out with him. Okay. Well, he's beating up these other kids on the playground. Well, he's so nice to me. It's like, okay, let's talk about that. How does that, you know what, you see what I'm saying? So I know I'm talking to the choir, but it was really being in nature helps you feel that, finding yourself. So I, as a role, as a parent to teach the kids, I felt I had to be their advocate. So whoever's in their lives, I would say it has to be their advocate. That's where we're going, right? It really excites me, this whole topic. And relationships, what do they look like? If you don't feel like hugging this person, don't. If you don't feel like talking to them, don't. Now, do they have an avenue to escape that? Do they have a choice? That's a tricky part I found with my kids, because they were in a system. They did go to public schools. So they'd have to come home. And if they cried about something, they still went through it, because at that time I didn't homeschool them. So to me, it's an advocate out of the system and pointing out to them when it's off and when it's natural.
That's beautiful.
Would you like me to respond, Q?
It's your show, sweetie.
Okay. Well, Zosha, I love what you said. I didn't have children. I haven't had children this go around. So, but I have plenty of friends that do. And something that I noticed was just the, like you said, the expectation, the obligation. We have to be at the ball field all day on Saturday. And it's not that you don't have joy, you know, and the child isn't enjoying it. It's all consuming. And so it starts with the parents, to me, you know. And if you can sit there and teach all these things to children, but then it's reinforced when they go back home, and it's no one's fault. It's just this indoctrination, this programming. You have to call so-and-so. Why? Well, because, you know, you just do. Okay, well, do you want me to call because I really want to, or is it because it makes them feel better that I do? And it might sound harsh, but I'm just now learning how to speak my truth from a place of love while doing my best to honor the other and other person. And I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. With nature, I love how in the Anastasia books, I mean, she has this little baby out in nature. I mean, I remember reading about the eagle flying and holding had the baby in his claws and flying around, and the bear taking care of, I'm reading about the bear and the wolf, the she-wolf, you know, coming and taking care of the baby, the child, and how we've lost that connection with nature. And, so to me, it's, what you said, Zosha, just teaching from a young age. And then also it's, you know, how do you teach the parent, so to speak? Where do we go with that? How do we do that? And also changing up the schools and the school system, and just getting back out in nature. I don't know if that's, I know that's all over the place, but that's some ideas from me.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you so much, ladies. So there's great purpose to how I initiated this conversation. You're going to see more and more of your political systems, and this is not to create an absolute for the future for anybody, but because we're getting more feet under us in these legacy political systems, hierarchical systems, what's going to be natural for you to see is a lot of these items falling apart gracefully. And one of the greatest ones is the education system. Recently, somebody signed a piece of paper that said, we're going to remove the U.S. education system. We're going to start over.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's the story. So you've caught up. Now, we have been fortunate to go all over the world the last few years. And we can tell you that some children go to school and learn absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Some kids, regardless of stimulation to learn or otherwise, they're just going through the motions. Well, one of the suggestions and ideas I have for everyone, some of the kids we're observing get more stimulation about learning at home. So as an example, your parents never understood the Federal Reserve was a dark control mechanism to observe and manage humanity's development. Whereas many kids now would see the Federal Reserve as a very dark place that controls humanity. Well, at some point, your disclosure, if you will, just using that topic, your disclosure has overrun the education system. We have children now saying, prove to me the sun is hot. That moon was not the same place at the same time last night, et cetera, et cetera. They're starting to prove that your science is goofy, your math is. So we've overrun our education system when the kids get out of school. And unfortunately, and fortunately, it's because of the smart devices. So at some point, we're gonna start asking ourselves, are we being steered to upgrade our awareness and knowledge, or would we find it anyway? And that's my question. Would we, in this type of human, would we naturally mature? And this is my opinion, we would. Would we naturally mature in this society and learn that the sun isn't hot if we were never told astronauts freeze before getting closer to the sun, et cetera, et cetera? Would we get there through our knowledge center if we didn't have all these outside forces bombarding us on electronic devices? And
in other words, would we awaken even if we've been indoctrinated? Well, the answer is yes, because we were all heavily indoctrinated in these systems and we've all seen through it. So
if I don't tell you what's going on in Area 51, would you naturally feel that that place looks weird when you drove up to the front gate?
Well, I think it's just that we start searching for answers. And then once you start, as they say, you go down the rabbit hole and you start. And because we already have that knowledge as star seeds or whatever you want to call all the people that are choosing to awaken and ascend, they just, you hear that, like, it'll be like one hippie-ish type friend or someone that you know, and they tell you one thing and you're like, you know, it's true right away, but you've never heard anything like it before, some sort of conspiracy theory as it's called, but you're like, no, that's actually, I feel that's true. That's because we have that knowledge within us, or those codes within us that maybe were locked down, but they were opening, which would be the beginning of ascension. And then usually that trigger from a friend or someone that tells you something, whatever it might be, the moon controls us, it's not real. Who knows, it might not even be that out there. It might just be, guess what, your government isn't actually your friends. And then you just keep going down the, you start with the baby steps, and then you start going down the rabbit hole and you know it's true. You don't actually question it and go, I don't know, this is all conspiracy. You're like, oh, you just know it's true, because that's what type of beings we are. And the ones that are not that type of being, that are very much here and invested in the matrix and want to go down that path of non-ascension, they can't believe it, and they'll never believe it.
Anyway,
so regardless of how you're raised or what environment, I don't think it matters if you're of the light and you're here to ascend, you're going to, no matter what your upbringing was, I believe.
Right. So the legacy mammalians on any given planet, they rely on generation after generation after generation to hand down the stories of your universe, your planet, your multiverse. Whereas here, we're so broken up and compartmentalized, 50 states in America, et cetera, Europe, we're not nomadic any longer, per se. We don't live in a tribal system. My question to you ladies, to clean it up for you, is could we do it now? If we all unplugged, would we be able to get our fortitude of natural knowledge and what was important to us through our heart instead of our mind being, could we put down the book and just know it for ourselves? This is my question.
I say yes. I feel that that's the distraction, is all the tech. And you touched on it too, Mermaid. If a being has that desire to ask questions, I feel for me in my life, I've observed if someone didn't have a question, so that's kind of goes back to UQ, the nature of the beings here. It maybe depends on the volume of light to determine the quality of or the ability to question something and versus just believe it to know it. But if the distractions mm-hmm. aren't here, I contemplate my children who have a lot of light, but are very much in hierarchical system and have busy lives. So they'll stop and listen to me. I'll have a moment and talk to them. Okay, could you just give me 10 minutes? Can I tell you this? And I'll tell them something, what they can handle, what I feel they can handle. And then I see them, I observe them processing it. So back to your question, they do have the ability to process. So I feel like there's this middle group of beings who have a lot of light, but are in the system. They have the capability. Oh. So yes, if everything was turned off, now you have a captive audience.
Mm-hmm. And they probably in their own time will find the answers as well. It's not to say they won't. They're just, this is their path right now to be invested in Earth and the way we do things. That's pretty common. It's what most of us all went through. But then at some point, I don't know how old your kids are, but at some point they'll no doubt start to find their own truths and realize maybe some things aren't what they thought. Yeah.
And one of my children researched and did some research on her own. I'm like, fantastic. And both of them have heard you speak, but they don't have the space to go at it, continue it on their own until recently, because there's more questions coming into one of my children. But the other one wants it. They hear and they're captive when I speak about what you both say. They get it. But they just don't have the time, not a word, but because of the systems they're in, to follow up on their own. So I feel like if that stuff went away, yeah, for sure. I really do feel like there's a group of people ready.
Yeah. Spiritual hotline. Next one, please.
Go, Lauren.
I agree 100%. Something that I've observed, actually, Zosha and I were talking and we were going to do a no-tech week next week. And just observing what happens, because when I get on the tech, and I'm not perfect at this, but my brain literally gets jumbled and it's very uncomfortable. And so I feel, yes, just cutting everything off. Where else can you go? There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to go except within. And so something that I've observed is that people are very uncomfortable sitting and just being. They have to grab whatever they can grab. And y'all both know this, but it's that, yeah. It's like a pacifier. And I mean, me included, it's been a journey. So I agree when you just observing both places and how I feel. Yeah, it's, you know, I love the connection and I love, you know, talking with people, but then at the same time, it's how do you balance it? So I say all that to say that I agree, just turning it off, it would assist people in coming out of their houses. Everyone's like a hermit in their house. No one waves. No one says hello. It's just, everyone's just so caught up in the programming.
Would your children understand the cording of reacting to communications on the machines? Do they understand that they could proactively turn it off and on, or do they feel obligated to keep up with all these relationships?
Like all the texts, all the apps messaging them and all that kind of stuff. Everyone feels like they have to reply straight away or get back to people, or they'll look rude, or not realizing that they're completely being bombarded. They don't look at it like that. They look at it as normal social interaction. It's just to expand on your question there.
Yeah, I definitely get that response with the obligation for both work, but they've also, one has sort of gone quieter in her life as well. Doesn't have that need for outside friends and all of that. So I observe her slowly moving more into my way of living, so to say, our way of living. And it's the work that keeps bringing it. And for my son too, it's a big social friend group. So they do text each other back and forth. But again, I still to this day keep pointing to them. I point out his nature, her nature. Remember, you're different. You're going to feel this different. You absorb people's energies. Do you observe that? And then they get feedback. So I'm involved them in the questioning process. Why are you exhausted? Do you see this? So I'm still not done. I don't want to say parenting, but it's my highest excitement to have this might have been my purpose in this expression has been to raise them. So yes, Q, I do feel for sure. But again, it would go, do you feel that that's their volume of light, that they have the capability to do that? Do you feel that middle ground of people that I feel we're discussing maybe? Is it the volume of light? Do they have to bring it in themselves? Because I'm helping them, so they're fortunate I'm helping them. But what about others out there who have light? But I feel you said once you have to know to sort it. Is that self-generating or is there an impulse? Will there be something to prompt them? I guess it'll prompt them when everything's turned off.
It'll definitely be in, sorry to push in, but I think it'll definitely be in their own time. It's in everybody's own time. So we know you can't push learning and knowledge and our wisdom on anyone, just as religious people shouldn't push their religion on anybody. You can't, that no one's going to see it when we are trying to tell them to in our time. It's going to be in their time. So it's not so much about a volume of light or a lack of volume of light. They're on their path and their journey, and they're choosing what they need to, to do right now to learn and to grow and experience. And then I just believe that they'll gravitate towards this information if and when they choose to, and it'll just be in their own time.
And simply maybe put, with the pain, with a little pain that comes in.
It cut out. Could you say that again?
I was saying maybe when a little pain comes in, creates a push, right. A natural push.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. How come the shows don't break when it's your show? I lose communication like 12 times an hour on my shows. Are they more powerful than me?
Y'all are kind of popular.
Yeah. We feel a little protection over us. So thank you.
Yeah. You know, radio show thing. But okay, cool. What do you think about my topic? It's worth exploring for others. Is what I'm noticing. It's getting a little more obvious that we're improving, while complaining we're not improving a lot of times. And I love it. It's just getting so obvious what our core is all about. And I'm sorry if I interrupted you too. But is that the way you see it as well? What's getting really clean now and our boundaries being okay?
Go ahead, Lauren.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And to piggyback off what you said, Zosia, I feel like the children are very receptive. I mean, to the cue when you're talking about the courting, and they don't know about that. They have no clue. And Mermaid, when you mentioned, I have to text them right away. And so this is learned behavior. This is all learned behavior. But I feel that they will be very receptive to this this knowledge. And then when the parents, getting the parents on board, that's another topic, but yes, absolutely. And I know we only have a couple minutes left, but I have to ask Mermaid. I'm going to ask this really quick. Mermaid and Q, I would really love to talk about the birthing process, like birthing in the new earth. And if you are both inspired to come back, I would love to talk more about that.
Is that 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. I'll join. I love that.
Yay. Oh, good.
Yay.
Again, another hour goes by so quickly. Thank you so much for joining us. And
that went really fast. I must have been having fun. That was great. I love being on this show with you ladies. It's really lovely.
We love you.
We missed you. So thank you for joining us. And Q, yes, the questions are beautiful. And definitely, it's all getting cleaner.
And I know a lot of people are asking these questions. A lot of listeners are asking these questions and are just so thirsty for this information. So I thank you so much, Q and Mermaid, for these beautiful questions today. We love them.
We love you both.
Thank you, our little silkies.
Thank you. But yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to butcher your name by pronouncing it wrong, but is it Zosia. Irish? Or
it's Polish, actually. Okay. Polish. It was my Nana's name, Sophie. And then Lucia asked me what it means, and I looked it up, and it means wisdom.
So oh, that's so beautiful. How do you spell it? Can I ask? So,
yeah, Zosia, and it's Z-O-S-I-A. Zosia.
Oh, okay. It sounded like it sounded a little like the Irish name Saoirse, and that was like this. My kids love the Song of the Sea about Selkies, the seal, the lady, the women that turn into like that are seals that turn into humans, kind of like mermaids but seals. And and anyway, it's from the ancient folklore of the Celtic folklore. Anyway,
I'm gonna look that up.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
I love that, and I saw a seal today too. Love it. Love it, mermaid. Thank you.
We love you both so much. Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
And thank you to
our audience. So
we're going to see you on PRQ next.
That's right.
See you in 2 weeks. We love you both so much.
See you then.
Thank you, BBS. We love you.
Thank you for having us. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
My great love
questions.
To you.
Thank you.
You touch our hearts. Thank you. Thank you, BBS.
All right. Ready for PRQ. Oh,